As promised in the previous episode entitled Stand, my wife Cynthia will read Watchman Nee's testimony, which describes his experience, to encapsulate all the principles of his book Sit, Walk, Stand. Enjoy the reading.
The God of Elijah. Let me give you, in closing, an experience of my own. A few years after the beginning of our work, we entered upon a period of severe testing. They were days of disappointment and near despair. We had come in for a great deal of criticism and discredit on account of the stand we were taking, resulting in coolness and estrangement even on the part of the Lord's true people. We had honestly faced and examined the charges made against us, for it is essential always to take criticism seriously and examine it, and not to pass it off with, "Oh, he's just criticizing me." Yet, we had reason to believe that the Lord was with us, for as a particularly difficult year drew to its close, we were able to reckon that within that period, he had given us several hundreds of real conversions. Then, at the year's end, it seemed that a climax was reached. Annually, for several years, it had been our custom at the New Year public holiday to hold a convention in the city for believers of different connections from throughout the province. This year, the sponsors of the convention asked me not to attend. The request came as a shock to us. It was, I now realize, an attempt by the evil one to draw me and my brethren off our ground of rest in Christ. The question was, how would we react? The New Year holiday is a long one, lasting fully 15 days. And besides being a suitable period for a convention, it is also the best time for gospel preaching. After seeking the Lord's will, it became clear that He would have us use it for the latter purpose. So I planned to take with me 5 brothers for a 15-day preaching visit to an island off the South China coast. At the last moment, another young brother, whom I shall call Brother Wu, joined the party. He was only 16 years of age and had been expelled from school, but he had just lately been born again and there was a marked change in his life. Moreover, he was very eager to come, so after some hesitation, I agreed to take him. This made us 7 in all. The island was a fairly large one, with a big main village of 6,000 stoves. An old schoolmate of mine was there as headmaster of the village school, and I wrote to him in advance, asking for a room in which we might lodge during our stay from January 1st to the 15th. When, however, we arrived late and in darkness, and when he discovered we had come for gospel preaching, he refused us accommodation. So we sought through the village for somewhere to lodge, until eventually a Chinese herbalist had pity on us and took us in, making us quite comfortable on planks and straw in his attic. It was not long before the herbalist became our first convert, but though we labored systematically and hard, and though we found the people of the village most courteous, we had very little fruit from the island, and we began to wonder why this was. On January 9th, we were outside preaching. Brother Wu, with some others, was in one part of the village and suddenly asked publicly, "Why will none of you believe?" Someone in the crowd replied at once, "We have a God, one God, Ta Wang, and He has never failed us. He is an effective God." How do you know that you can trust him? Asked Wu. We have held his festival procession every January for 286 years. The chosen day is revealed by divination beforehand, and every year without fail, his day is a perfect one without rain or cloud, was the reply. When is the procession this year? It is fixed for January 11th at 8 in the morning. Then, said Brother Wu impetuously, I promise you that it will certainly rain on the 11th. At once there was an outburst of cries from the crowd. That is enough. We don't want to hear any more preaching. If there is rain on the 11th, then your God is God. I was elsewhere in the village when this occurred. As soon as I heard of it, I saw that it was most serious. The news had spread like wildfire, and before long, over 20,000 people would know about it. What were we to do? We stopped our preaching at once and gave ourselves to prayer. We asked the Lord to forgive us if we had overstepped ourselves. I tell you, we were in deadly earnest. What had we done? Had we made a terrible mistake? Or dare we ask God for a miracle? The more you want an answer to prayer from God, the more you desire to be clear with Him. There must be no doubt about fellowship, no shadow between. If your faith were in coincidence, you could afford to have a controversy with Him, but not otherwise. We did not mind being thrown out if we had done something wrong. After all, you can't drag God into a thing against His will. But we reflected this would mean an end to the gospel testimony in the island, and Ta Wang would reign supreme forever. What should we do? Should we leave now? Up to this point, we had feared to pray for rain. Then, like a flash, there came the word to me, Where is the God of Elijah? It came with such clarity and power that I knew it was from God. Confidently, I announced to the brothers, I have the answer. The Lord will send rain on the 11th. Together, we thanked Him, and then full of praise, we went out, all seven of us, and told everyone. We could accept the devil's challenge in the name of the Lord, and we would broadcast our acceptance. That evening, the herbalist made two very pointed observations. Undoubtedly, he said, Ta Wang was an effective god. The devil was with that image. Their faith in him was not groundless. Alternatively, if you preferred a rationalistic explanation, here was a whole village of fishermen. For 2 or 3 months on end, the men were at sea, and on the 15th, they would be out again. They, of all people, should know by long experience when it would not rain for 2 or 3 days ahead. This disturbed us. As we went to our evening prayer, we all began once more to pray for rain now. Then it was that there came to us a stern rebuke from the Lord. Where is the God of Elijah? Were we going to fight our way through this battle, or were we going to rest in the finished victory of Christ? What had Elisha done when he spoke those words? He had laid claim in his own personal experience to the very miracle that his Lord Elijah, now in the glory, had himself performed. In New Testament terms, he had taken his stand by faith on the ground of a finished work. We confessed our sins again. Lord, we said, we don't need rain until the 11th morning. We went to bed, and next morning, the 10th, we set off for a neighboring island for a day's preaching. The Lord was very gracious, and that day, three families turned to him, confessing him publicly and burning their idols. We returned late, tired out, but rejoicing. We could afford to sleep late tomorrow. I was awakened by the direct rays of the sun through the single window of our attic. This isn't rain, I said. It was already past 7 o'clock. I got up, knelt down and prayed. Lord, I said, please send the rain. But once again, ringing in my ears came the word, where is the God of Elijah? Humbled, I walked downstairs before God in silence. We sat down to breakfast, 8 of us together, including our host, all very quiet. There was no cloud in the sky, but we knew God was committed. As we bowed to say grace before the food, I said, I think the time is up. Rain must come now. We can bring it to the Lord's remembrance. Quietly, we did so, and this time, the answer came with no hint whatever of rebuke in it. Where is the God of Elijah? Even before our Amen, we heard a few drops on the tiles. There was a steady shower as we ate our rice and was served with a second bowl. Let us give thanks again, I said, and now we asked God for heavier rain. As we began on that second bowl of rice, the rain was coming down in bucketfuls. By the time we had finished, the street outside was already deep in water, and the three steps at the door of the house were covered. Soon we heard what had happened in the village. Already, at the first drop of rain, a few of the younger generation had begun to say openly, there is God! There is no more Ta Wang! He is kept in by the rain! But he wasn't. They carried him out on a sedan chair. Surely he would stop the shower. Then came the downpour. After only some 10 or 12 yards, three of the coolies stumbled and fell. Down went the chair and Ta Wang with it, fracturing his jaw and his left arm. Still determined, they carried out emergency repairs and put him back in the chair. Somehow, slipping and stumbling, they dragged or carried him halfway round the village. Then the floods defeated them. Some of the village elders, old men of 60 to 80 years, bareheaded and without umbrellas as their faith in Ta Wang's weather required, had fallen and were in serious difficulties. The procession was stopped and the idol taken into a house. Divination was made. Today was the wrong day, came the answer. The festival is to be on the 14th with the procession at 6 in the evening. Immediately, when we heard this, there came the assurance in our hearts. God will send rain on the 14th. We went to prayer. Lord, send rain on the 14th at 6 p.m. and give us 4 good days until then. That afternoon, the sky cleared. And now we had a good hearing for the gospel. The Lord gave us over 30 converts, real ones, in the village and in the island during those 3 short days. The 14th broke, another perfect day, and we had good meetings. As the evening approached, we met, and again, at the appointed hour, we quietly brought the matter to the Lord's remembrance. Not a minute late, his answer came with torrential rain and floods as before. The next day, our time was up, and we had to leave. We have not been back. Other workers asked for those islands, and we never questioned anyone's claim to a field. But for us, the essential point was that Satan's power in that idol had been broken. And that is an eternal thing. Ta Wang was no more an effective god. The salvation of souls would follow, but was in itself secondary to this vital and unchanging fact. The impression on us all was a lasting one. God had committed himself. We had tasted the authority of the name that is above every name, the name that has power in heaven and earth and hell. In those few days, we had known what it is to be, as we say, in the very center of the will of God. Those words were no longer something vague or visionary to us. They described an experience we had ourselves been through. Together, we had been granted a brief glimpse of the mystery of his will. From Ephesians 1 verse 9, Ephesians 3 verse 9 to 10. We will go softly all our days. Years later, I met Brother Wu. I had lost touch with him, and in the interval, he had become an airline pilot. When I asked him whether he still followed the Lord, "Mr. Nee," he said, "do you mean to say that after all we went through, I could ever forsake him?" Do you see what it means to stand? We do not try to gain ground. We merely stand on the ground which the Lord Jesus has gained for us and resolutely refuse to be moved from it. When our eyes are really open to see Christ as our victorious Lord, then our praise flows forth freely without restraint. Singing with melody in our hearts to the Lord, we give thanks for all things in his name. See Ephesians 5 verse 19 to 20. Praise that is the outcome of effort has a labored and discordant note, but praise that wells up spontaneously from hearts at rest in him has always a pure, sweet tone. The Christian life consists of sitting with Christ, walking by him, and standing in him. We begin our spiritual life by resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. That rest is the source of our strength for a consistent and unfaltering walk in the world. And at the end of a grueling warfare with the hosts of darkness, we are found standing with him at last in triumphant possession of the field. Unto him be the glory for ever and ever. Ephesians 3 verse 21.
We hope you've been inspired by Watchman Nee's testimony and that it has helped you grow your Christian faith. If you've enjoyed this podcast so far, please subscribe as my wife, Cynthia, shares the continuation of her story.